Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifies, World of Outlaws, Archives, all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
All right, now, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Pitter-patter, let's get at her. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. here in the Racetime Radio Studio. And we have got things set up again for another two-hour edition here tonight. So glad you could tune in. Junior, busy weekend. I haven't seen you much.
It was a busy weekend. Had a little bit of fun. Hung out in a couple race shops. And, it was a good weekend all in all. Yeah. And getting wound down for Christmas on the day-to-day job through the week. Christmas time's coming and getting ready for the holiday season.
Yeah, this is our final show of 2018. The next time we jump behind these microphones, it'll be 2019. So we got a lot of stuff coming at us in the new year, but we got a good holiday coming up.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to get a chance to talk to some guys in the new year about stuff that's coming down the pipe. But the last couple shows we've been doing champions, recaps and been a couple of weeks back to back with champions all across Canada and the U.S. as well. But tonight, I'm excited about tonight. We got a pretty cool lineup to talk about.
Absolutely. Champions again tonight with some more champions from across Canada. Let me tell you who we got coming on the program tonight. Of course, you know, the NASCAR All-American Weekly Series. There is six different tracks here in Canada that are part of the NASCAR Home Tracks banner. And out of the six, we're going to have three of those champions here tonight on the program. We're going to kick it all off shortly here with Rick Spencer-Walt. Ricky's going to join us. He was a first-time champion in NASCAR at Sauble Speedway, located just down the road from the Racetime Radio Studio. Then we'll head over to Sunset Speedway, and we'll talk with Gord Shepherd. He is a repeat champion, another NASCAR champion, from Sunset over in Stroud, Ontario. Then we are going to catch up with a guy that is just, I'm telling you what, this is probably the toughest guy to beat anywhere on dirt in a sprint car here in Canada. If you're going to win, chances are you're going to have to beat Dylan Westbrook. And Dylan's going to join us here on the program. He was a champion at Oswego Speedway in that CorPac Sprint Series. And Dylan's going to join us. Then we're going to catch up with a champion from the Pro Late Model ranks at Flamborough Speedway. We got Matt Lockwood going to stop on by. Driver of the number 15. He got a championship this year at Flamborough. And we're going to catch up with our third NASCAR champion of the night. I did pre-record this one. Caught up with Wayne Walsh just a couple hours ago. Of course, gets pretty late out there in Newfoundland by the time we hit the air. So Wayne's a busy guy day to day. I got him early, recorded him, and we're going to hear from that champion from Eastbound International Speedway.
Now, what is his? He's got a nickname. When I was out in Eastbound,
The Flamin' Bayman.
That's it. Flamin' Bayman. Yeah, you got her.
He's from Conception Bay, Newfoundland, yep. And the Pinty's Grand Slam out there this past weekend, I do believe.
Yes, definitely. You got some curling action happening.
They love it out there.
Sweep the ice.
Yeah.
Fun. Well, a little bit less intense than NASCAR racing.
Like a whole lot less. But they have a lot of fun doing it.
Absolutely.
Have a sud, throw a rock.
Yep, that's right.
Sounds like good fun in Newfoundland.
Definitely. Anywhere
in Canada. Have a beer,
throw
a rock.
Yes. Yeah. Throw rocks up and down the ice.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk to two of our guests mainly. You know, I've spent a lot of time with, of course, Rick Spencer-Walt and Gord Shepherd both.
Right.
You know, locally, we've raced against both of them lots and you know, with different teams that I've worked with. They both had a heck of a season this year.
Sure did.
And I'm excited to get talking to Rick as well, Gord, over at Sunset. Those two champions, they have a little rivalry themselves. They don't race well together.
Don't they?
They don't. And I think that they ironed it out, you know, this year a little bit. But those are two very hard-nosed competitors with great teams behind them. They've got great equipment. When they're both on the racetrack, sparks are going to fly.
That's competition, right?
They race the wheels off their race cars. You know, to see them both have success, it shows the dedication for both of them. And as well, you know, Gord is making a name for himself with NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series. Gord, you know, he's been racing since Barry was the Dodge Weekly NASCAR Series in Canada. Hmm. You know, he raced at Barry Speedway for a long period of time. He even won a couple championships under the Whelen, you know, ranks from Barry Speedway.
Gordy moved ran his way All-Star over. Back in the day.
Yeah, definitely.
He's been around.
Yeah,
He's been around. He's a tough guy to beat.
Absolutely. But he's made it down to that, I would say, more than anybody else here in Canada, he's made it down to that Charlotte banquet more than anybody.
Yeah, probably.
I would think that he would be, you know, the most winningest NASCAR Wheeling Series guy here in Canada.
Yeah, he's continued on the longest, right?
Absolutely.
And he's had great success.
Yes, for sure.
Well, we'll check in with Gordon tonight.
It's going to be exciting.
How many times he's been to Charlotte.
Yep.
I know it is something that absolutely every one of those teams want to do.
Absolutely.
And only a few of them get the opportunity to get down there to the NASCAR Hall of Fame and be part of the festivities. And if you can do it as a champion, man, that is... that's what you want to do. That's the whole idea of the game. When you're involved in that program, you want to take it to the maximum. And definitely our guests here tonight that were part of the NASCAR banner did that. Now, I did reach out to Edmonton International Raceway. Wanted to try and get the champion on from out there. Having a look through the website, looks, Junior, this year, that it was the modified division was their top division. And I do believe the champion's name, I'm going to say it was Roy Wigley. Wigley, I do believe, was his name.
Okay.
But we are still going to work on that. Loretta probably off on holidays, didn't get back to us. No biggie. We will get their champion on. I want to make sure we do that for Edmonton International. And in Quebec, one might say, well, hey, don't forget about Chaudière. Don't forget about Saint-Eustache. I have had experience working with the Quebec tracks, been there, and tried to get interviews. It's difficult because there is a little bit of a language barrier there. I personally don't speak French.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to try and interview somebody if they don't speak English.
Exactly.
And the overwhelming majority of teams that were down there when I was there were on the French side of things, and it was tough.
Yeah.
It really was. We were there covering Saint-Eustache one time with the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, and I wanted to definitely get interviews with the winners of the undercard, if you will, that night, and I struck out on every one of them.
Yeah.
They were all French guys, and I'd walk up saying, "How you doing? I'm Joe from Racetime. Can I get a word with you?" And they just absolutely had no idea what I was saying.
Exactly.
And if they did, they sort of went, well, I have no idea what you're saying.
Exactly.
Unless you're going to do it in French. So we are working on finding out who the champions were. And by all accounts, if we can get them on the show, we'd really love to hear from every one of those Canadian NASCAR champions that are part of the program up here in Canada. Kind of cool.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, when you look across the line, you know, into Quebec, the NASCAR landscape and really the Wheelin' All-American Series landscape is almost like its own championship because they don't travel outside as a, you know, as a majority.
Right.
You know, there's a couple guys that do travel and they get around, you know, a guy like Patrick LaPerrelle and a couple of them, Donald Teige, of course, now into the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, the NASCAR Penty Series. But, you know, I got to take in two Whelen All-American Series shows this year. One was at Chaudière, mm-hmm. and one was at St. Eustache, and the race in there. My God, they've got 25 beautiful late models for both shows,
right?
And put on a whale of a show. I absolutely loved watching it because it's the old ACT stomping grounds.
Sure, that's it is.
And they've got some beautiful equipment. They've got some big names, and you know they've got some big equipment in the pit area at all those Quebec tracks.
Well, we'll see how we make out absolutely. In the new year. We will definitely reach out and see what we can get put together. Together with some world champions in 2019. But let's get to the hotline and bring in tonight's first champion. He did it this year at a brand new sanctioned speedway. Sauble Speedway was NASCAR sanctioned this year. And it was Rick Spencer Walt that went out there and got the deed done. He is the champion and he joins us on the hotline. Ricky, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing amazing. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. Hey, good for you. We had you on in the spring. Things were looking good. Man, you carried the momentum all the way through, and you got yourself a championship.
Yeah, that's for sure. It was a hard-earned one over there at Sauble. I'd never really run there. I think we were there three times on the track running before we decided to go after a championship. It didn't really start off very good. I think we rode a rear clip off the first night. We were the fastest car there but got wrecked, so... It was tough. Jason won both features that night, I believe, so he started off with a pretty good lead on us.
Yeah, well, you ended up, 14 points? I want to say about, I think it was 14 points that I seen ahead of Jay at the end of the year.
Yeah, for sure. After that night we wrecked, we went back and did a bunch of work on the car and changed a lot and the new rear clip and everything else. It just seemed to, it made the car better, I think. It seemed better than it was before when we went back to the track, and we changed motors, too, which was part of it. We were running a crate when we first went, and I just didn't feel it could get up off the bottom like the built motor, so we went back to the built motor, and we either tied Jason for points or gained on him the rest of the year through, and then were able to wrap up the championship final night with a win, too, which was great.
Rick, I hope this isn't a stupid question, but is this your first championship in a late model?
No, we won, not that I'm proud of it, but we were suspended for a season from NASCAR, and so we weren't able to go run any sanctioned tracks, and we went to Peterborough that year and won the championship out there.
That's right, too.
How did you like Charlotte? Did you make it down to Charlotte? You would have went, for sure.
Yeah, my wife and I and the car owner, Eldon, and his wife, Harleen, us four went down. Honestly, the time of your life down there, you're standing beside NASCAR greats all over the place. Everywhere you look, there's another NASCAR driver or a crew guy or a crew chief or somebody you recognized it from down south. Or so much to learn when you're down there talking to the guys, too. We learned a lot with our program up here and what guys do differently down there. You're sitting backstage with 51 different champions. It's pretty cool. That's how many they had down there this season, and it's just unbelievable how they treat you. You're red carpeted from when you show up. They're carrying your bags to when they leave, and we're rednecks, so we don't get that treatment up here, you know.
Yeah, but you earned it, right? You earned it. You really did.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the team worked very hard, and I worked on my driving, watched a lot of video at Sauble, and I didn't know the place, and followed Jason around, followed Marvin around, a few other guys there that are really good. Stoddy, we followed him around a lot. He's very good there with Brian helping them out at the time, and it was a big learning curve, but I love challenges, and I felt like that was a challenge. And when six of the top guys from Sunset moved over there and did whatever happened there, and we all decided to run together over there, it became a pretty competitive field of late models there.
Yeah, it definitely did. And that's the thing. Sauble is a tough track to figure out. When you first arrived there, it can throw you some curveballs. It's different at both ends. But when you get it mastered, then and only then are you going to be able to take a shot at the competition. And, man, it sounds like you kept your nose right to it and did it. That's that's hard to do, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. The Junior Hanley sent us to the racetrack with a pretty good setup, and we worked on it from there and just tweaked. Everybody thinks that our stuff goes back down to Junior every week, and it really doesn't unless there's a big accident or something. Everything's maintained in our shop and run through our shop. So, I mean, Junior does the initial setup, and he's there at the racetrack once in a while for us to bounce ideas off of. But generally, it's the crew chief Darren and my own decisions on bump stops and stuff like that. So it feels good to grow as a team and be able to do that. I mean, we're in the middle of we made a little bit of a change this year, and we're going to rent out our limited late model to Robbie Sykes, which is pretty cool to have him join the team. He's a good friend, good longtime friend of mine, and we made the switch over to a McCall chassis. So we'll see how this season goes, too. It's going to be all new for us again.
So as it sits right now, you know, we seen you last year also take a stab at a bunch of APC late model races on the crate late model side, and as well try your hand at a couple of big shows, obviously across Ontario. What are the plans? Obviously, you kind of alluded to it that you're going to rent the limited late model out. What are your plans as it sits right now for 2019, and can you kind of fill us in on what your schedule looks like, you know, on the preliminary side?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we don't hide any. I have nothing to hide. We're going to go back to Sunset, I believe. We do have a really good pro late program, too. It's just that takes a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of crew to tour across Ontario to all these tracks, and most of them are a couple hours from us. And Sunset being the closest one, still 40 minutes from me, which is fine, but it's just that I like jumping into that car and showing up to the odd race or and running up front. You know, I feel like you're stronger when you do that. Not a lot of guys jump into that series on one-off races and win like we did, or run in the top 3 to 5, and I feel like we can do that whenever we want to jump into that car. It's just gonna take some time, and so we've built a new limited late is what's going on. We built a brand new chassis. It's gonna have the new 2019 five-star body on it, or 18, whatever you want to call it, but it'll have the new Camaro body on it, so it's going to be pretty cool. We're going to go back and run full-time there, and then probably run the Pro Late races at Sunset. And then I think we're just going to get a motor and some shocks together for Jucasa, so we have the right program to go back there, transmission, the right stuff. And maybe eventually that car just becomes a Jucasa car, I think.
Yeah, well, and there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. That's going to be quite a race coming up at the end of August, beginning of September, that weekend in there. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Bubba came up and waxed everybody last time, and I don't think any of us want us to look that bad again. So there's a lot of work going on, I know, down at McCall's, and Junior's definitely got new ideas and things he's going to try. And I think we just need to get up to standards with these guys, because, I mean, they're shifting. They're running the best stuff around, but they're doing it every other day down in the States, and we're doing it once a week up here. So definitely need to get our program in order if we're going to run with those guys. So.
Well, I think it'll be a different scenario in 2019. Everything was kind of new in 18, but you guys all learn pretty quick. I can imagine everyone in that field learned something that they can't wait to come back and unfold and see how it works out. But Ricky, you're one of those champions, so when you're a champion, you get another shot, you know? And you're going to get another one this year. So will it be a two-car effort? You're going to lease car out. Is one going to stay at Sabo, and then you're going to jump back in at Sunset?
We're both going to go to Sunset. Sabo dropped the limited late model program, so they only have the Pro Late. I think they haven't announced yet, but from what I've heard, it looks like a six-race deal over there for Pro Lates. I don't want to jump too far ahead till they announce stuff, but that's just what the rumor is over there. They did tell us at the banquet that they had dropped the limited late, so I guess that's not really an option for us to go run over there. It'd be nice to. I love that place, and I think Brittany and Paul and Mark, Brandon, all them guys over there, they're girls, they're doing a good job of trying to revive the place, and they need the help. So, I mean, if we can go over and support a couple of Pro Late shows, I might, you know, venture over there and try that just to help support them. You know, they're putting money out and time out to please us and give us a spot to run, so I feel like they need the support from everybody, or else we're just going to keep losing tracks around here.
Good. Putting it out that way, and that's 100% true. Good on you, Rick, for, you know, doing what you can to be over there and support Sauble Speedway. It's going to be interesting, I can guarantee you. You back at Sunset Speedway, competition goes up a little bit more, and they are stacked with it over that way.
Oh, the competition there is great. Gord Gordon and I, we were good buddies. We've been big rivals, and I think we're getting, you know, we get along a lot better now than we have been. So hopefully him and I can do a lot of door-to-door racing when they're there. And Danny's a hell of a driver, and I can't wait to race against him again. Just everybody over there. It's Salvo was a long drive for us. It was nice to go over there, run, and win, but Sunset seems to be more of our home now. A lot of friends, family, sponsors all come from there. So to kind of return home with a few new sponsors, a brand new car, and, you know, we got momentum on our side, I feel like, so we're going to go after that championship there. I've won the championship at Barrie, Peterborough, Sauble. I kind of want to do the circle around us here.
Absolutely. Rick, I touched on it a little bit off the, you know, the beginning of the show before we got you on the line, but you and Gordy raced 2 hours apart all summer. That's why you guys got along this season.
Yeah, you go over
there. Yeah, you
go
over there, and he goes over the opposite direction, then you guys get along great. But when you guys are racing on the same track, sparks always tend to fly, and it's just a hard-nosed racing deal between you two. But I love watching you guys race. I love how you race, and good on you, and have a great off season. Get ready for 2019.
Awesome, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a gas. You have a Merry Christmas. Give those sponsors a hit. Championship car, you got to do that, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. We have greensteelroof.ca. That's my boss, and he helps us out a lot. GoHydrovac.com. HOTC is Eldon's company. He owns Orser Technical Service, Heidi's RV, Auto Trim Design, Jim Wilson Chevrolet. There's probably a couple more I'm forgetting, but the team and everybody involved there, and Eldon for sure. The man goes to work every day. He's working Saturdays. He's working Sundays. He works as much as he can just to let us go have fun. And definitely my smoking hot wife there. She's behind us all the time, working and helping me with everything she can.
Good deal. Good for you. Congratulations on the championship. And can't wait to see how things all set up for 2019. We'll see you in the spring. We'll get you back on here, buddy. We'll set the stage.
Awesome. Sounds good, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome.
You won't believe it. That is Rick Spencer-Walt, champion at Sauble Speedway. Good on him.
Yeah, definitely. And I forgot about his win over at Peterborough Speedway, his late model championship. I knew that he had Thunder Car Championships, and he had won, you know, basically every big name show around. Like Autumn Colors, he's won it in Thunder Cars, he's won it in late models, you know, and you go down the line, he's won MRE races, and he's won, you know, APC. He won an APC race last year, and just, you know, he's hit the big games and the big game races, and came out with the checkered flag a lot of time. But I didn't realize that he had won that Peterborough Speedway Championship.
The first thing that starts to go, and you're on me all the time, is when you get up there, Junior, the memory starts to go. See, look at that. Look at that. You're not that kid anymore.
I felt bad about asking him that. That sucks. Well, sorry, Rick.
It was either going to be you asking it or me, one or the other. Dynamite stuff. We're going to hit our first break, Junior. And when we come back, we're going to grab that guy that Ricky always likes throwing sparks with. They're good friends until, I don't know, May rolls around. We got Cord Sheppard coming up. On the other side of the break, yet another NASCAR champion. Stay with us.
All I want for Christmas is a real good tan. Tang me to the islands, put my feet in the sand.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
Woo! It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
I'm Amber Mack.
I'm Michael B.
Every week on The Feed, we're going to talk about what's new now and next in the world of technology and social media.
Whether you want to know how to keep yourself safe online or get startup tips from today's hottest tech entrepreneurs, we've got you covered.
We'll also invite a team of experts from around the world to join us, the hottest social media stars on the internet.
The Feed is your show for nonstop tech talk about what's new now and next.
Weekends on Canada Talks.
Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
It's not snowing
here tonight.
You can't
go wrong
with Elf. It's beautiful out here tonight, outside the studio.
It is.
Yeah. Well,
it's 0 degrees.
Tomorrow is supposed to flurry a little bit outside the Racetime Radio studio.
That's fine. A white Christmas, and then it can go away right after. Yeah. Let's do that.
That and the Canadian World Juniors. Can't wait for that to fire off on Boxing Day. That, my friend, is... I'm not a big hockey guy. I'll be the first to admit it, but I have not missed not a second of the Canadian World Juniors hockey in the last, 10 years.
Guaranteed.
And
yes.
Last year at the gold medal game, compliments of you, I might add, for Christmas. Last year I got Morgie and I, my brother-in-law and I, both got tickets to the gold medal game in Buffalo. Joe got us tickets, and we went to it, and I'll tell you what. What a game.
Pretty
what
cool.
A game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Memories for life.
World Juniors this year, it makes me sad that they got rid of one of my favorite games out of the World Juniors, and that was Canada-U.S. on New Year's Eve. It was like that for years.
Yeah, I know. But
it was like that.
It moves
for,
around. Depends on how the pools all shake
but
up.
They're changing it. They've changed it. You know, like the Hockey Canada and well, not Hockey Canada, the IIHF have changed it to put the Canada and U.S. closer to the gold medal side.
Right.
You know, put an emphasis on that as opposed to the final round robin. That was an awesome game. You know.
Oh, yeah.
And World Juniors on New Year's Eve, Canada, U.S., that was the best game ever.
Well,
like every year.
See, back in my day.
For like
day,
a solid 12 years.
Back in my day, when I was a big hockey fan, and I was a big hockey fan, I'm Canadian, it was Canada-Russia. And Canada-Russia would play on New Year's Eve or, you know, thereabouts. And it wasn't necessarily Team Canada. There was years where it was Team Canada.
Yeah.
But there were years where it was the Montreal Canadiens playing the Russians, too.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, that was dynamite hockey as well. Whenever you get the Canadian contingent going up against, I don't care who, it's always going to be dynamite.
Definitely.
And either the U.S. or Russia, one or the other, love watching them. And now you got to throw Sweden and Finland into the mix, too. Those two teams they've come a long way. I can remember tournaments where Canada or the U.S. would just go in and annihilate everybody else.
Yep.
But now it's cool. There's some competition.
I love it.
It's still Canada's
all,
up there.
All World Juniors love it. Love every single game.
They're trying to be the next guy, right?
They are, for sure. And it's just like going to your local Saturday night short track.
Sure it is.
You know, and seeing the next up-and-comer and seeing the hard-nosed racing of guys trying to make it. And, it's a little bit of a different deal because they've all got a shot at making it in hockey. You know, if you're good, you've got a shot at making it.
Yeah, but there's only so many slots open.
In racing, you don't see that.
Well, you don't see that because you're dependent on daddy's check today.
Exactly.
I love watching the short track end of things, but as soon as it steps up into the NASCAR Elite Top 3,
yep.
It's no longer the day of, hey, that guy that's in that seat. is the most talented guy.
I know. Yeah, that's
and it sucks.
Yep.
It is. It's a hard and fast true rule now that and I'm not saying that guys that get into those seats can drive.
No.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying maybe the most deserved guy that should be in that seat isn't in that seat because he can't afford it.
Yep.
And that part of this sport has to be fixed.
Yep.
Or I'm sorry, but that top end isn't going to continue to grow or flourish like it did back in the 90s. Because back in the 90s, guys like Joey Logano, I'm going to say, and I could be wrong on this, but I'm going to be really close. Guys like Joey Logano were the last guys, and I think Joey Logano was the last guy that was actually hired and paid to go run that race car based on his talent and the talent pool that was there in front of the cup owners that particular year. From that point after, it was all, you know what? I've come with a bank account. Can I sit in your seat? And it goes from I'm going to pay you to now you're going to pay me. Well, anybody that's a dollars and cents is going to definitely take the deal where you're paying me to drive my car.
Yes.
We're seeing
a small influx and a change.
Because it's NASCAR, be a big one.
I know, but NASCAR needs to do that. And really, it's not just NASCAR anymore. It's Formula One. It's IndyCar across the board.
And I don't blame NASCAR itself for that.
But
I blame the owners.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're definitely, you know, taking the easy road. Number one.
Right, but they're wrecking the very sport that made them in the position they're in.
Well, no, they all made their money elsewhere. all made their money elsewhere. They're just playing. Well, but no, the biggest thing, I think that we're seeing an influx right now of talent making it because it there's value to it. So I'm going to, point at Ryan Preece right now. Talent is making it with that story.
Okay.
Talent is making it with a guy like William Byron. He paid to get there. He paid to get there, but then became a paid employee. Now I think that, and even a guy like Chase Elliott, they're on name, and they've built their brand to get to that point.
Chase is, I'll agree with Chase Elliott. He is a
really
good wheelman.
Ryan
Blaney. I'll agree with that one well.
But I think we're seeing an influx. The difference is 15 years ago, when a guy like Joey Logano would come with talent, he would step into a ride and instantly be making $15, $20 million a year. Now, today, they're not. That's not happening.
No.
They're taking a heck of a lot less than what it used to be.
Sure.
It's not, and it's a shame because really a guy based on talent in NFL is if you're the best NFL player, you are going to be the highest paid NFL player at
some
point.
Same thing with hockey. Same with every other major sport.
Correct.
When you've got the talent, you're going to get paid the dough.
Exactly. Where in NASCAR, you just need to claw and scratch until you've got a ride.
I know.
And that is a downfall to the sport. But that being said, you can still make it on talent. If you have talent and you have a business acumen that can wrangle sponsorship dollars, wrangle partnerships, wrangle investment, however you want to put it, there's guys that don't have two pennies to rub together that are still racing in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, that are still racing in the Truck Series, and they're making it based on talent and as well putting together the dollars and cents to go do it. Now, are they the most talented race car drivers? If I was going to start a NASCAR Cup team today, I would want a guy like Bubba Pollard, or I would want a guy like Casey Roderick, or the names can go on and on of guys that are amazing race car drivers that haven't made the next step.
Right.
Or that can't make the next step,
because of dollar. Right.
But the same thing can be said about a guy like Junior Hanley 35, 40 years ago. There's no reason why Junior Hanley is not today a cup, superstar of yesteryear.
Junior Hanley will be the first to tell you he didn't want that. He didn't want to be that cup guy.
Yeah.
He would have. If he wanted to, Junior Hanley would have been that cup guy. But it wasn't money that held him out.
No.
Junior Hanley would have done it. He would have if he wanted to go do that. He's a short track guy, and that's why he's a legend in short track. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you can do whatever NASCAR can, you know, listen to race fans and change the way the championship is done and alter the races in length and do all these changes. They can change everything they want, but nothing's going to change in this sport until the day comes where talent is getting that ride behind the wheel.
100%.
That is what's going to fix this. The Jack Roush gong show idea needs to come back. And I don't know
less
how they're going to do it.
Less gimmicky.
Well, whatever.
But
yes. You showcase talent, and the best man, the best guy, gets an opportunity to be in the professional end of the sport. And he can go out. That's what creates fan base.
Yep.
Not, I'm sorry, William Byron is a good race car driver. I can't take that. He can outdrive me any day. But William Byron, in my eyes, has not earned his place.
I disagree with that completely.
In that, you can go ahead and disagree.
The guy won like numerous truck races, numerous Xfinity Series races, and he was a champion in both.
Yep.
He went out there and proved it and got it done to get to that point. And this year had a terrible season. But
does that make him deserved to take over the 24 car?
I don't think that there's any such thing as deserved.
Well, that's maybe where the sport's going wrong. That's my opinion.
I'd be real interested
in finding out.
Based
what the
on the results that he had this year, is he deserved to keep his ride? No, I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Because he had a terrible year.
He did.
But is he deserved to get there? Yes.
I think there's a little too much bit off. In my opinion, a little bit too much bit off.
Yeah.
And when you look at the truck and Xfinity rides he was in,
yeah,
those are the same teams that are still doing the winning today.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
The team is winning, but you need a team to win.
There's
a lot
winning.
Of good guys that strap into good cars that don't get the job done.
Yeah, I'll agree.
There's a lot of great guys that get into great equipment and don't get the job done.
Well, let me tell you, the next guest we've got, and he is on the hotline right now, is one of those crafty veterans that I think deserves a ride at the next level up. Let's welcome him in. He is the champion from Sunset Speedway, a repeat champion, I might add. Let's welcome in Gord Shepherd. What's going on tonight there, number 10? How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Another good season for you behind the wheel of that number 10 Green Rocket. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Gord, how many championships you got now?
100.
Six.
You got six of them? All at Sunset?
Three at Sunset, three at Barrie.
Yeah, well, you spread it around, right?
Yeah.
How many times have you been to that big banquet at Charlotte like you would have been last weekend?
When you're the track champion, you can go, you get invited every year, but I've only won the Nationals three times, I think. Provincials, sorry.
That's still great, isn't it? Like, look at the success you've had. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, tough thing to do, especially at Sunset Speedway. There is so many good cars there. Take us through 2018 and how you got this job done.
Well, it didn't start off like we were going to get the job done, that's for sure. We struggled pretty good there at the start, and we managed to fight back, though, and at least won the track championship. So it was a bit of struggle at the start, and then towards the middle and the end there, I think we kind of turned around pretty good.
Gord, give us a highlight reel, if you will, of you know, the season this year. Obviously, winning the championship was you know, the cream of the crop, and that was the big moment of the year. But take us through the beginning, the middle portion of the year, where you know you were having some good runs and different races and different things went right or wrong. Kind of give us a highlight reel, if you will.
At the start there, it didn't look like it was going to turn out as good as I thought, because the 54 and the 24 were pretty much running away with it there at the start. But then the 54 kind of, I don't know, he found something good, but we ran pretty pretty hard with them door to door for a while through the middle of the season, and then he kind of fell off a bit, and then Nick he picked his game up a little bit, and we had a lot of good races towards the end of the season with Nick as well. We had a lot of good I think the last points night down there we had a caution to come out with like two or three laps to go, and he did have a little better car than I had, but we managed to beat him on the outside, so that was a pretty good show.
That's always a big moment.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Gord, looking at 2018, obviously, towards the right at the beginning of the year, I was over there just spotting for Holdaway, and it looked like you were getting ready to pull your hair out right at the beginning portion of the year, like you say. You were chasing it. Did you find something that was setup related that was holding you back, or did you just throw the kitchen sink at it and make wholesale changes?
Oh well, we were changing. We had a built motor and a crate motor. We were changing engines. We were doing all kinds of things, trying to figure out what to do. When we got the car back from Junior, we had changed a few things in the back of the car. And anyways, as it went on, we kept changing things back to the way it was the year before, and we just kept getting faster. So eventually we ended up right back where we were last year.
Oh, really?
See, and that blows my mind every year, and I've watched you guys forever. You go out there, you know, everybody goes balls to the wall. You got brand new car, you got this, you got that. You go out, and, you know, fast time this year, you guys are turning like a two, right? And all of a sudden you come out the next season, no real rule changes, and all of a sudden guys are picking up 0.2, or, you know, they picked up a tenth or two. And I'm always flabbergasted by it, and I'm going, where did they pick up the speed? How are they doing it? But it's through hard work and determination, I guess.
Well, most of it, I would say. I've always been a big one. The harder you work on your car at home before you get to the track, it always usually pays off for you at the racetrack. So, but for us this season, we did have a lot of us haven't ran on 10-inch tires before, and I think a little of that was putting us a bit behind the eight ball.
But at the end, good move, bad move, would you rather be on eights again, or did you like the 10-inch?
Oh, no, I think the 10-inch is definitely better. Just I kept thinking once we bolted to the mom, we would still be just as strong as we were, but kind of bit me in the ass a little bit.
Yeah, well, in those little changes, right? Sometimes, well, that's a big one, to go from 8-inch tires to 10, it can throw you for a loop, but like you say, you know, you're prepared for one thing, and all of a sudden you get a curveball, and you're chasing the car everywhere, and yet it was something that you figure out that was probably a small detail.
Yeah, like I say, just, you know, we just started going back to the our basic setup there that we had the year before, and you know, we kept getting quicker. The other thing too was at the start we also had the front shocks. We got them. Found that we had a couple of bad shocks. That helped. So it was just little things here and there, but just something that I don't normally struggle with. So it was difficult.
Did you have a favorite moment? You obviously mentioned the side-by-side battle with Nick Getz right towards the end of the year. But did you have a favorite race through the 2018 season?
Not right off the top of my head, no. Usually, well, I would have to say the battle with Nick was probably one of the best ones, I would say. But, I mean, we also had some good ones with, well, Benedict and I had a good race. I passed him there with, I don't know, a lap or two left to go, and then, unfortunately, I ran out of gas, and he drove up the wall to pass me. That was a good one, I guess.
Absolutely.
You got to love it when a plan comes together, other than when you run out of gas and the guy gets you at the end.
Well, I wasn't planning on running out of gas, but
now was that
team
just
effort, I guess.
Was that just an oversight on the crew's behalf? Didn't fill it up, or were you guys trying to run it close to the line and be as light as you could without being too light?
That was pretty much it. Junior doesn't like us weighing too much, and my little buddy there that looks after the gas there, he was trying to keep her as close as he could, and we guess we just miscalculated a little.
on at Sunset Speedway, you only missed it by just like a couple of drops.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Another lap and a half left.
So, 2018, a huge success. What's the plan for 19?
Well, we have new people in our team now. They bought our Pro Late, and they asked us to race it. So that's pretty much what we're going to do next year, I guess, is run the APC full-time next year.
Wow.
Oh,
well,
gotta love that.
That's a big announcement.
That'll be a bit of a change for me.
Yeah, it sure will be. And not owning the equipment is going to be another huge change.
That'll be a bonus, yeah. Well, normally I have a great fellow that helps me, Peter. But between me and him and a few of our sponsors, that's pretty much usually what pays for my racing. So having somebody else pay for it's definitely going to be different for me anyways.
Gord, you've always been a part, you know, for the last, I'm going to say, 10 years. You've been a part of Pro Late Model Racing across Ontario in one way, shape, or form. But it seems like you've always had your focus or you know, one side of your focus on your limited late model program, whether it be at Sunset Speedway, whether it be at Barrie. To take a dive and to put all your focus into Pro Late Model, I think that's a massive move for Shepherd Racing.
Well, I think it's going to be a big change for us because it's a little different style racing going from track to track. So I definitely think like this year is definitely going to be a learning year for us. I told the new car owners that, you know, we should just set a realistic goal because, to be honest, we're going up against a lot of good drivers, you know, like you got Fitzpatrick and Brandon Watson and, you know, a couple of younger kids, Lapsovich. You got a lot of good drivers, so you're not going to just show up there and steamroll the field. So.
No, you'll have to go back into those history books and pull out all of those notes. And that's the cool part about being a veteran like you are, Gord. You've got notes, you've got history, and you're going to be able to draw on all of that. I know that's what that team's going to be depending on, is that crafty veteran behind the wheel. And I think they picked the right guy, man. This is going to be very interesting.
By the way, that's the nicest way I've ever heard somebody call somebody an old guy.
From one old guy
from
to another.
From one old guy to another.
No, it's really going to be that's interesting. That's huge news, really, to hear that you're going to go full blast at APC in 2019. Will it be the number 10, Gord?
Yeah, it'll be the number 10 for sure.
Perfect. Sponsorship on your car, you got to be huge, you know, especially a championship year for you.
Absolutely. You know, we have Waste Connections of Canada on the car. They've been a huge sponsor of ours for probably at least 10 years or so now. The Fox's Bakery and Cookstown Auto, Foreigner Transmission. I have a lot of sponsors, but some of them, you know, they've been with me for a long time. So got to thank them. I thank our Peter Shelswell, and, you know, we definitely got to thank Junior Hanley. He's just been a great help to me and a great mentor, and, you know, he's taught me what I needed to know.
Well, he is one of those wealth of knowledges that he helps a lot of race teams, and usually the guys that he helps out turn into champions, and it's still proving itself today, man.
Yeah, he's just a super guy.
Pretty wild. Crew-wise, who is going to be the crew on that APC team, or you guys got all that decided just yet?
I think we're still working on half. You know, I kind of told the boys there, you know, they need to let me know if they're going to come or not come, so it's still kind of a bit in the air.
Yeah. Now, will you do any races at Sunset on those so-called off nights?
Yeah, I think we will. Right now, I've been more focused on, I've actually been building a few Thunder cars and stuff like that, so I've been hoping to maybe go and watch some of my cars go racing around the track, help them a bit, but we'll see.
One of these days, you're going to turn into a Junior Hanley. You know that, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah, you'll be out there.
I don't think I'll be quite as good as that, but, you know.
Well, you're never going to retire, Gordy Shepherd, ever, ever. You're going to keep racing, and when you're done, you're still going to be racing just from the pits.
Well, it's, you know, when you've been doing it most of your life, it's hard to envision what you would do on Saturday night if you're not going to a racetrack, so.
Tell me about it. That's what I did when I sold Sauble Speedway. I said, what do I do now? I can't leave. And that's how we ended up doing what we're doing now. At least that's Susie and I. That's what we. That's how we've stayed in this sport.
Well, and it must be nice to tour around and see a lot of the different tracks as well. That must be nice to do that as well.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm one lucky guy in many, many ways, but definitely that is one of them. To see all the different racers, to see the different race tracks, and I've been truly blessed, and I still am today, and I hope to be in 2019, too. It's going to be a dynamite year, and more evidence of that tonight with you stepping in. And, you know, we've had two guests on tonight, and we got two different plans laid out already, and that's incredible.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sure is. That's now there. That's how Rick and Gord are going to continue getting
along.
That's
right.
See,
that's right.
Now the cat's out of the bag.
So before we had you on the air, Gord, we were talking to Rick Spencer Walt, and
yeah.
And you know, I alluded to it at the beginning of the year that you guys always race hard, and you guys are hard nosed racers. And he said he's going back to Sunset Speedway next year, of course, with his program. And he said you guys got along great towards the end of the year last year. And I said that's because you guys race 2.5 hours apart from each other. But
yep.
When
you start racing with somebody every night, it gets hard.
It definitely does. It's hard to keep friends, right?
Well,
you bring your friends to the racetrack.
You're there to have fun, but you're also there to win. So,
absolutely.
And those competitive juices fly, buddy. Good for you. Another successful season for you, and we wish you nothing but continued success, Gord.
Thank you very much.
You want to believe it? Have a Merry Christmas to you and the whole family there. Get after it. We can't wait to see that 10 in APC.
You as well. Thank you.
You bet. That's Gord Shepherd, winner, NASCAR winner, Sunset Speedway. Guy's done it like three times, Junior.
Yeah.
Three times. Check it out.
Yeah, definitely. And that's massive news, you know, to see that team. That team is ready for pro late model racing, and they have been forever. They've raced, you know, looking back on it, you know, I worked with Andrew Grizzell at Delaware Speedway back, my God, what, 8-9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And they would race, you know, Barry Speedway on the Friday or on the Saturday night and race Delaware Speedway with the Pro Late on the Friday night. And the focus for him, you know, has always been on that limited late model program. And
right.
he's been so good in it for so long. But, you know, whenever there was a special with the pro late models, whether it be Oktoberfest at Flamborough or whether it be Peterborough Autumn Colors, they would always roll out their pro late model and you know, they would be there. And they have not had the success that they do have every time that he straps into a limited late model on the pro late model side. And I think that, you know, it's because their focus is on the limited late model
program.
Sure.
Pouring they're busy
all their,
guys, man.
Absolutely. Pouring all their focus into a full effort in the APC series. That team is going to flourish next year. And the neat part is you know, you're adding such a massive name and team to the APC Tour. That's another guy. He can go out there and compete for a championship.
Oh, yeah.
Right out of the gate.
It wouldn't surprise me if he came out with a championship.
Exactly.
Really wouldn't.
No.
Quick break. We'll be back. Lots more champions still to come tonight on Race Time.
I like that, man.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best with Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
We're having a redneck Christmas with traditional possum stew.
Yeehaw!
We're having a redneck Christmas, poke salad and rabbit too.
Yeah, Redneck Christmas. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Not a whole lot of time here. Before I got to throw it back to Toronto for the SiriusXM News Update, and then we'll kick off hour number two. We got Dylan Westbrook coming up. He is the man in a sprint car on dirt here in Canada. And we got Dylan coming up. We'll also hear from Matt Lockwood. He is the champion at Flamborough Speedway in a prolate model. And then, of course, Wayne Walsh. We're going to hear from next on the other side of the top of the hour, Junior. But
and big news for Westbrook as well. We're going to talk about it when he jumps in. But he's no longer with the Stiers Racing Team for 2019.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, we'll hear what he has to say when he comes up on the show.
Definitely.
That guy is just amazing in a sprint car.
Amazing.
Just amazing.
Yeah, he's been lights out for the past few years.
We'll give you some accolades and some of the stuff that's on his resume just before we get Dylan on the air. But, yeah, he's a young guy. And if you look at the career this guy's got going, look out to whoever is in a sprint car. This Dylan Westbrook is definitely coming. And he's got the numbers to back it up, which is really cool. But, in just minutes here, not even, in less than a minute, we're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date, small news package, and then we're going to be right back and we'll kick off hour number two tonight live on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. And maybe you're tuned in on 98.9 FM, XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, or there's so many different ways, the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com, or maybe you tuned in on Gearhead Country Radio or right here on Sirius XM. Whatever way, don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you can always grab it free on iTunes. Yeah, all you got to do is go to iTunes, search Racetime Radio, hit the subscribe button, and each and every time we do an edition of Racetime, you'll automatically get it delivered to you free of charge, and that way you don't miss a moment, especially with champions like we got on here tonight. But I'm going to clam up. Here is the news update, and we will be back with hour number two in seconds.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things
big run.
Racing.
Oh, my God!
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off too.
It's all on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the Sirius XM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
Boom. Okay, I'm a little bit behind. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. One more full hour tonight, and the last full hour on Race Time Radio for 2018. And man, we're going to do this in style. Our next guest, I'm going to spin that interview I got with Wayne Walsh out in Newfoundland. I just got this a couple hours ago, so it's nice and fresh. Here, let's spin this, and we'll catch you on the other side of it. Okay, off we go now to Canada's East Coast, and I mean we're going all the way out. Let's go all the way out to Newfoundland, and let's welcome in a two-time champion at Eastbound International Speedway, Eastbound Park. Let's welcome in the driver of the number 99, Wayne Walsh, freshly back from Charlotte, North Carolina, picking up that big trophy. He's with us now on the hotline. Wayne, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing very good, thank you.
Good season for you. 2018, man, you repeated the championship. That says a lot about you and that 99 team, buddy.
It do, yes, and feels good.
I know that you've got a bunch of good guys on your team, and I know all of them, but why don't we tell the listeners who you've got on your team, because... Man, you guys did an awesome job this year.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, myself and my brother and a few good friends. We pulled it off again, yes.
Wayne, quite a season this year. Compared the two seasons, 2017 to 2018, you championshiped in both of them. Was one year harder than the other?
Yes and no. It's getting better competition there. Yes, it is. I got to agree. And it's going to be a better year coming up this year.
Now, you run a Dodge. The 99 is a Dodge. You guys work hard on that Dodge machine. Was it quicker this year than it was last year? Did you guys find any speed in that car?
No, it's the same gig, same motor. Just setup is a key thing, which I'm working more to this season coming up. I'm going to change a few things and try a lot of different things this year.
Yeah, I guess if you stay the same, the guys are going to catch you, right? Because the competition, as you mentioned, the competition at Eastbound is getting it's getting tougher.
It is getting tougher, yes. And everyone plays by the rules. Everything should be good. But this year I'm going to concentrate on different setups for just to try myself to lead off to different people if they want to listen.
Yeah, good stuff. And that's the way to do it. You got to change. You got to try and keep things fresh, so to speak. What's that like, trying to get some new information? Are you working with any other teams, or where are you gathering that information from? You're probably not going to tell us, but where do you get that stuff from?
I pick up a lot, but I'm listening to one person in particular from Nova Scotia, Stephen Henderson. He's a real good friend of mine, and I really listen to him, and everything that he told me, it do work.
Stevie Henderson, R&D Performance. Those guys are good at what they do, and it sounds like they're helping even guys out all the way out on the rock.
He do, yeah. He's the Zero Car in Nova Scotia, Dexter Construction. He's a real good man. Everyone wants to meet him. He knows a lot.
So, Wayne, fresh coming back from Charlotte, North Carolina, your second trip to the NASCAR Hall of Fame and the awards night, I watched it. It was a pretty good show. Man, what was it like to be there a second time?
It was a real good time to be there for a second time. You meet different people every time, but this trip was amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, to be in there with rubbing shoulders with North America's top champions, that had to feel pretty special, man, being there a second time.
It was a real privilege to be there, yes.
in 2018, there was a bunch of rule changes at Eastbound International Speedway. Were you kind of nervous going in as the champion from 17? You seen the new rules package. Did it concern you at all? Or were you just nose to the grindstone and kept on going?
Nose on to the ground, just keep on going. Just no turning back. Just you got something set in mind, just go do it.
And the crew responds real well, too. Was it a decent year for you? How did the car work? Did you have many breakdowns? Did you have many wrecks?
I only had one wreck, which wasn't too bad. And the team really responds when I comes in. They knows exactly what to do when the car comes in.
And they go to work and they do their magic each and every time. I know you guys work hard on that 99. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. You guys are probably wrenching on that thing all week long.
Oh, I work on it every day, every night, every hour. I work in the car most times by myself, but the team, it really pulls it off at the track.
What's it look like tonight? Is the 99 all stripped down or is it still sitting over in the corner with that big trophy on it?
No. The 99 is in the garage, stripped down on jack stands, waiting for the next moment what's going to happen.
And then you'll get
it's
her all ready.
It's going to be a new gig for the 99 next season coming up, I think. That 200 pounds, extra weight that I got to carry,
yep.
I'm going to drop it. Now I'm going to try something different this year, I think.
So chassis is going to remain the same? It's going to be setup changes?
Setup changes and possibility the running gear might change just for the sake of it. 200 pounds if the rules don't change.
And it's difficult, right? They're trying to melt everything together but keep it competitive, and that's a tough line to run.
It is a tough line to run, yes.
Man, it was a dynamite season watching you in 2018, and I've had the privilege of watching you race for the last 2 years, and it's been amazing watching the progression. Can't wait to see where you guys end up in 2019. Are you going to keep the team the same? Everybody coming back?
Everyone's coming back. It's going to be a little more excitement this season coming up.
Absolutely. I know we can't wait for you. All ready for the holidays next weekend, man. Santa Claus is going to land.
The car comes first.
Yeah, you get that car ready to go, and the team is all set. Wayne, congratulations on the repeat. I know I look forward to 2019 to find out how things all shake out, my man.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you.
Look at that. Paddy Squire's dream continues to get bigger out in Newfoundland. Trust me when I say, if you're listening to this show and you've got any plans in 2019 or I don't care when it is, if you're going to Newfoundland, you have to put on your calendar a night at Eastbound Park. It's just outside of St. John's, out the highway, out the Trans-Canada by about, 15, 20 minutes. And you're going to be Eastbound's on your right-hand side there. You can't miss it. You don't want to miss a night there. Check it out. What a beautiful racetrack, Junior. You were there this summer. What did you think of Eastbound?
I was. It was a lot of fun. I had the privilege of going with DJ Kennington when he did a special appearance out there. He got a chance to run the 17 car, and it was a blast. It was, the racing out there is the true passion is there because it's so fresh. You know, when you look at, tracks around here in Ontario, you've got 10 guys, 15 guys in the field that have been racing for 15, plus years.
Right.
And out there, you don't. You've got
5 years. That's it, man.
5 years.
Five-year history.
And so it's so refreshing when you go to Eastbound Park and see not only the drivers, have all the passion and the team have all the, the passion in the world for the sport, but the fans as well. There was a lot of people there that had never been to a race before.
That's right.
Yeah, Every single time, by the sounds of it, they have a large cross-section of fans that have never been to a race before.
That's right.
And, it is a different experience because it's you can see the excitement in everybody. And you need that. And it's something that is so cool. And they're building such a neat, facility out there. There's definitely, you know, they're making improvements. You can see it, and the racing wise, it, you know, the competition is just as high, if not higher, than, you know, racetracks like Sunset Speedway and Sauble Speedway here in Ontario, or even, you know, a place like Hickory in North Carolina. They've got deep fields out there. They've got 25, you know, solid cars. When we were there, I think there was 23 late models that took the green flag.
Yep.
You know, there was a good car count in every division. Just a lot of fun. And it's a different take on short track racing.
Well, I've been there the last 2 years. I've been fortunate enough to be working with Bob Smith and Mike James and Pat Squires, of course, the owner of the track. I've been the race director out there for the last 2 years. And I just standing back, looking at what I seen when I went there 3 years ago to broadcast the Edward Collins 125, and to see the quality of race cars that were on the track, the caliber of driver, all of that, and to witness it over the last 2 years now, not going there as a broadcaster, but going there as a race director, and watching the progression and seeing what I seen this summer, it's the difference between night and day. These race teams, I would put them up against any race teams anywhere else, anywhere in the country. These guys are dialed in. They've got it. They've got a beautiful facility. What Pat Squires has built just outside Avondale, Newfoundland, is just, it'll take your breath away in looking at it. Fan amenities are second to none. Probably the nicest grandstand in out of any short track I've been to is at Eastbound. The racing surface itself is a challenge. It for listeners in Ontario, if you sat and looked at a place like Kawartha, is a really good comparison to what we've got at Eastbound. The wall construction is a little bit different. There's guardrail at Eastbound where, you know, at the other tracks we got concrete. So it's a little different that way. But the actual layout of the speedway, it's incredibly fast. It's got real nice banking to it. You can get nice long straightaways, nice sweeping turns. And there's a drag strip right tucked up against the grandstand. So you got race fans of all different flavors that are there. They've got a really cool go-kart track set up that you can go rent a go-kart. You can go for a ride in those on race day. It's a true entertainment facility, and Pat Squires has done an amazing job with it. Every year gets a little bit better, and there's a little bit more happening.
I have a funny story about the go-karts.
Well, it's got to be quick.
Yes. So we're out there with DJ Kennington and his son Chase.
Right.
And, you know, he DJ brought Chase in and said, you know, let's go go-karting. Let's go up to the go-karts.
Right.
And Phil and DJ, Phil Fowler, of course, the number 11 car, took
right.
DJ. And they went up. They got go-karts, and they jumped in, and they were racing. Well, Phil stopped on the racetrack and reached underneath the hood and took the governor off. Well, he just wired the governor back.
Right.
And so he had full throttle, and he's way faster than DJ and Chase, of course, at that point. And DJ never said a word. You know, Chase never said a word. Phil's out there just flying and passing them and you know, having a good time. After the race, DJ is, we're sitting there and everybody's together, and Phil said, are you going to come back next year to Chase? We'll go go-karting again. And he said, only if you don't cheat. And everybody just howled.
I bet.
But, yeah, Chase caught, you know, DQ'd Phil Fowler for cheating.
Did he?
And it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
We had a gas when we were out there, and I want to get back there next year.
They don't make him any better than Phil Fowler, do
they? No, the whole team out there is just just a blast.
Too many good guys, I'll tell you that. Okay, quick break. When we come back, we're going to switch it. We're going to go on dirt, Oswegan Speedway. We got the sprint car champion. We got Dylan Westbrook coming up on the other side of the break, all live. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Well, dear Santa, anything I've ever asked for, you've been kind enough to place beneath my tree.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the SiriusXM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to meet you.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on SiriusXM.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio from SiriusXM.
Start your engine!
Get access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
SiriusXM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
Ooh, Merry Christmas. Christmas comes this time each year.
Santa can't drink any more milk tonight. Santa has a lactose intolerance. It gives him horrible gas pains. You want to see Santa farting down everyone's chimney?
Merry Christmas.
Famous cat all dressed up in red. And he spends the whole year working out in his sled. It's the little
Saint. Where in the heck was that from?
Well, I don't know. I just, there's stuff that pops up. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Final show for 2018. We'll do more in 2019. You can bet your boots on that one. And we're just getting ready to have a healing, helping, happy Christmas or holiday that's coming up. It's going to be a real good one. And I know 2019 is going to be dynamite. We'll have some more champions in 2019. There's still a few from across the country that we've got to get on this program. And then we're going to spend a lot of time previewing what we're going to see in 2019. We've already heard tonight of some moving and shaking that's happening. Guys like Gord Shepherd going to go full tilt APC racing in 2019. That's huge news. And I know our next guest has got a pile of news as well. And that next guest is Dylan Westbrook. I know Susie Q is working on getting Dylan up on the hotline. But let me tell you some of his credentials, if you don't know who Dylan is. And these could be a little bit dated here, but I want to say he's got 26 career 360 sprint car wins. How about 8 career crate sprint car wins? The 2017 Cool Kids Corpac Sprint Champion. That's the 2017 with 9 wins. How about the Empire? He was an Empire Sprint first winner in 2017. And how about he's the Patriot Sprint Tour Canadian champion with 1 win back in 2017. That's just some. I'm telling you, he's got a whole load of credentials.
That's only 2017 as well. We're going to talk about 2018 that just happened this year. Looking at the picture here, he's got all the trophies lined up from this year as well. And we'll get a full coverage. Now, we do got to keep in mind, it's only an hour. We've only got an hour left. So we'll just cover the big ones that he won this year.
Yeah, and there's a pile of them. Let's get to the hotline and let's bring in Dylan Westbrook. Hey, champ, how you doing tonight?
Good, you?
Fantastic. Looking at your resume, man, it grew again this year. What are you doing? You win every time you get in.
Yeah, I've had some real good season like 2 years ago, and even this season, it's just been really good. We just got a good base setup that pretty much know what we can go out with pretty much every night, and it's kind of tweak it as night goes on, but it definitely got something figured out.
Yeah, 2018, we're going to have to call it a successful season. You championshiped at Osweekin, a real tough track to not only win at, but to go out and win a championship against the guys you're racing, just amazing. What other successes did you have? I know you were all over the place this year.
Yeah, with the SOS, finished third in that championship series. Kind of had a couple mechanical issues that kind of set us back a little bit in that one. With the Patriot Sprint Tour Canadian Series, finished second in that championship. And then I actually traveled around quite a bit this year, a bit more than last year. And we raced with the ASCS Tour down in Wheatland, Missouri. And I ended up getting some good finishes with them. I think I finished fourth the one night and fifth the other night. So pretty good going down there, first time at that track and racing with that level of competition. We were real happy with how we made out.
Yeah, good for you. You know, I'm looking at your stats, and I have a look, and it's got, Dylan Westbrook, he was born in Scotland, Ontario. Birth date, December 10th, 1998. And I went, okay, there is a misprint. 1998. That was just a few years ago. Junior looked at me and he goes, Dad, you're getting old, man. He said, that's 20. He's 22. I went, no, he can't be. And I'm looking at him, well, yeah, he is.
He's 20.
I went, oh, 20. Yeah, 20 years old.
20
see,
years old.
Yep. I'm not very good at math either. But that's amazing. I thought it was a misprint. Dylan, you're a young guy. You've got a bright, bright future in this sport. Are you going to be one of those professional sprint car drivers that we're going to see in World Outlaw? Or what do you aspire to do down the road?
That's my goal. Right now, actually switched race teams and actually going to be doing a lot more ESCS racing. And hopefully next year we'll be able to go on a tour full time and then just keep on moving through the ranks that way. Got a real good opportunity. So going to do that. And hopefully one day my goal is to be racing all of Outlaws and doing that.
That's wild, Dylan. Obviously, as well, if you take a look at Dylan Westbrook Racing on Facebook or Twitter, there's a picture of a black and blue beauty with Osweekin on the side, but getting ready for the Chili Bowl just in a few weeks' time. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, that's really exciting. That's always a great time going down there. Actually, with the help of Jack Ely and Glenn Stiers, they just put a new car together for me. Just a lot better than what we had last year for a car, and then we have a good motor this year, too. So we should be in real good shape. It's kind of a little bit of luck down there just because everything that's going on, but I think it should be good. It's always a lot of fun down there.
Definitely. You got to get a good draw, and then you got to drive the wheels off the thing in the heats, right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
And experience is going to come into play. You have been at the Chili Bowl, 16, 17, so you got experience there.
Yeah, that definitely helps a bit, too, because like 2 years ago going in there, first time ever driving a midget, every time I go, because I only race the midget once a year at the Chili Bowl, so every year they go, kind of get a bit more experience with it, so just every year they go is definitely helps out.
You only need like 400 or 500 more horsepower to feel at home, right?
Yeah.
Dylan, looking at 2018, obviously, this has been the night of champions, and the last three shows that we've done have been the nights of champions. And obviously, there's no more deserving than a guy who gets the job done in multiple series a year. And when you look at 2018, give yourself a scorecard. Obviously, it's an A-plus at Osweekin and a few races like that. But overall, what do you need to improve upon as a driver? And what were some of the highlights of the year?
Kind of improving on last year, just kind of what hurt us the most, I think, was just having like just a couple of mechanical issues just going wrong. Like just not really stuff that we could have done, just kind of stupid little stuff that happened. So next year, just kind of going to go through all our stuff a lot better and just make sure we don't have that problem again, which I think is going to help us out a bunch.
Have you met anybody that is super cool in your eyes in this sport? Did you meet anybody like that this year that you didn't expect to meet in a pit area or at a race?
Probably actually out of Oswego and just kind of never really talked to him much, but it's like Sam Haferty. Kind of never really talked to him that much before, but just kind of started talking to him like not that much long ago, and he's a pretty cool guy. He knows a lot of stuff, and I think I'm definitely going to be able to learn a lot from him now that he's going to be my teammate, so really excited for that.
So let's talk about that new team now. Obviously, your success has came, you know, out of the Stiers stable in the past, and you're switching it up this year into 2019. Let's talk a little bit about the team that you're going to be a part of, and what it looks like for 2019.
Yeah, well, you started Strickland Stiers, and kind of my last race for him is going to be the Chili Bowl, but like. Told him and he's like super good about it, said if that doesn't work out for me, I'm always welcome back to race for him. But next year we're gonna go to race for Hills Racing for Miles and Cam and Alex Hill, so really excited about that. Gonna be able to travel a lot more with them, like doing a lot more ASCS tour stuff, and then like with Sam and Alex, them being on the road already, and they already know like what to do, so I'll be able to learn a lot from them also.
Yeah, that's the kind of experience you're going to need if you're going to go down that World of Outlaw sort of, you know, that line of business. You're going to need to be that kind of guy that is used to traveling and moving around. And I know you do some of that now, but this is going to be a whole new spectrum, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, this is going to be completely different. So that's now I kind of got someone to follow and go by, like something to go off of. Like now, like to go into all these new tracks, like Sam and Alex, they've already been there, so I can kind of ask them, like, hey, what would you guys start with for tonight, kind of go off their notes, and I think that's going to be able to help us out a lot, too, not going in there having no idea what to do on that type of track.
So when do you get to work, so to speak, with the new team? I can imagine it's going to fire up earlier than what you're used to firing up here in Ontario.
Yeah, well, actually, their race shop is a little bit closer to my house than which Glenn's was, so I've been down there pretty much every Monday and Wednesday nights, kind of building the cars, getting everything ready, and pretty much first race of the season, I think, is going to be at Bubba Speedway in early February, and then go to East Bay for the Winter Nationals after that, and then just kind of keep on traveling around for a little bit.
Man, it's got to be exciting to be you and the opportunities that you've created for yourself. And that's the cool part with dirt racing. And that's the thing. You got to have results. You got to put yourself in position. And it sounds like you're doing everything you need to do.
Yeah, kind of been a lot of hard work to do it, but it's finally paying off. I think it's just kind of luck of the draw. It's like how I kind of got into it, like just helping out with Glenn's car. And just kind of one day just kind of said, hey, do you want to drive a race car? And it's just kind of really progressed from there.
Yeah, pretty wild. But you've made the best of it. Sponsorship on your car and people that you probably need to thank, not only for the championship, but for getting you as far as they've got you so far.
Yeah, like Glenn, he's a huge part of it, just kind of help me out at first. It was before just kind of me and my dad just kind of traveling around, not really doing all that much, but just doing as much as we could with like our with the money that we had to do, and then started helping with Glenn, and he really made that a lot bigger than what we ever could have. Like going into the 360 and traveling around, like that was a huge help for that. And now all that has helped me to get where I am now, like have other teams calling me to do bigger and better things, so everything's just been working out real good.
How many times do you think you'll be racing back at the Big O throughout the course of 2019? Like the Sprint Car Nationals and probably some other ones thrown in there. But how many times are you going to make a home appearance?
I think right now we're trying to do like as many ASCS Tour races as we can. And then I think the plan is right now is to still win the Oswegian Championship this year again. So I think I'll be there every Friday as of right now, so still going to do like a lot of other racing, but still going to come back to Oswegian for this year also.
Yeah, kind of cool. Man, it's going to be an exciting 2019. I guess, have you thought, what did you put on your list to Santa Claus this year? You're a young guy. You could still have a list.
Oh, yeah. I haven't really thought about that lately. I've just been busy worrying about getting ready for the new race season and everything, so that's been the main priority so far.
You could probably put a golden driller on there, that list.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be for sure. Dylan, obviously, you know, you dirt guys are all super versatile, and I love talking to the dirt guys about the racetrack changing. Just the way that it does over the course of a night. But is there a place where you are ultra successful? Like, do you like a tacky racetrack versus a slicked off racetrack, or where is your happy place in the dirt?
I think I'd rather like it like a slick racetrack. That's just kind of where, like, I like a really tight race car, so most of the time I'll be like a little bit slower, maybe the same at early on in the race as everyone else, and then when it starts to slick off, then that's when I get really good. I think I'm just like a really smooth driver, so that helps out, and then we have a really good setup for in the slick too, so that's kind of what I like, just because that's how most of the track is most of the time, so that's just kind of how we had this set up for the car, and we really got the setup like down pat, so I think that's why I like the slick track.
That's cool. That's awesome. If you changed the racetrack on asphalt as much as a dirt does, I think every asphalt guy would lose all their hair, because it is so incredible. If you know, and I say this to all the listeners, and I've always been an asphalt guy, but you know, if you haven't been to a dirt race, to a sprint car race, get out to one, because you need to.
I think
that is echoed through the entire industry, that sprint car racing it holds a special place in everybody's heart. But I still think back to the first time I seen a sprint car go by my feet at Volusia County, and I was hooked at that point. You know, it's just the coolest thing that I've ever experienced, and I've experienced some pretty cool stuff in racing.
A night at Oswegan Speedway,
yes.
Here in Ontario, Marrietville, Humberstone, all of them. But you got to take a night in on this weekend. It will blow your mind. If you've never been to a dirt track because you think it's dirty, go to us weekend. Do yourself a favor and check it out. And you see the future stars like Dylan Westbrook. And there's so many really good, talented drivers out there. But Dylan, this has been great catching up with you. And so excited to hear the news that you... that you've got there. That's tremendous stuff, man. I can't wait to see where you end up in 2019 and beyond.
I'm really excited for it. Like, my goal is just kind of go out there, have some fun, just learn a lot this year, but that's kind of what I say every year, and it's really been, I always get great results, so I'm going to hope for the same thing again.
Absolutely. We got your number, and you've got ours. You make sure you keep us up to date. We'll get you back on race time. I know the fans would love to hear how successful things get and how things progress.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. I'm at the Chili Bowl. Probably give you guys a call there, too.
Oh, yes. That would be amazing. Absolutely.
Go get the W down there for us.
Oh, yeah, That might be a hard one, but I'm definitely going to try.
That's fine.
Big Canadian flag. I know you can do a donut just as good as any of those other guys can.
Well, I'm sure going to try for it.
Good stuff. Have a Merry Christmas to you, your family, your whole team, and we'll catch up with you in the new year. I can guarantee it, Dylan.
Thank you. You guys too.
You bet. That's Dylan Westbrook. Man, look at the success this youngster's having. And he's just getting started.
Yeah, definitely. And arguably, the, you know, I look back on the dirt side of things, and there was one guy that stands out in my mind from here in Ontario, and that's Chris Rabe, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rabe,
Chris,
and he's still
phenomenal.
In it. He's still in it. He's still laying down numbers in big block modifieds and modifieds all over the place. But when he was, I want to say when he was like 17 to 20, kind of right in, you know, where Dylan is right now.
Yep.
He was laying down the big numbers as well.
Sure, and he was yep.
You know, the Mr. Dirt champion, and he was winning at every racetrack that he would go to and laying down massive numbers. Same opportunity for Dylan, I think. And really, the sprint cars, they offer a little bit of a different angle than the big block modified stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a little bit easier easier to get recognized on the sprint car side if you're laying down numbers and having success, because the industry is so wide open and you've got such an opportunity. I think that the success that he's having, he would be one of the top prospects in Canada to be a superstar in the sport. From everything that I've seen, Dylan Westbrook is you know, he embodies the championship lifestyle of winning.
Sure he does.
And it's not luck or fluke when you back yourself into two championships and, you know, pick up big wins in, you know, the Empires and the SOS and all the different series that he races in. It's not a far cry to point at that guy and be, you know, that guy is got the biggest opportunity of any up-and-coming prospect here in Canada.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, in fairness, he's been in great equipment as well. You got to have the right gear to have the results. And definitely Glenn Stiers has put good race cars underneath Dylan. That's key. Sounds like he's going to be with another good team. Let's see what kind of equipment he gets into. But, yeah, the future is bright. You can guarantee it. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to find out how things shake out for him. There's so many stars of tomorrow that you can catch at your short track level today. Well, not really today, but you know what I mean. You can see them at your short track, and a lot of stories to be wrote and to be in front of us in 2019. Going to be cool. We're going to hit our final break. When we come back, yet another champion. This next champion in the pro late models. He did it at an iconic speedway here in Canada, at Flamborough Speedway, a real tough track to get a championship. And Matt Lockwood did it in 2018. We're going to find out how he did on the other side of the break. Stay with us. We will be back.
Hey, race fans. Donald Chisholm from Riverside Speedway in Nova Scotia, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen,
men,
and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me? I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me? Anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me?
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More short track live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
On Sirius 167.
Canada Talks.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? You need a chakra cleanse.
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
I think people forget about the true meaning of Christmas. Love, friendship, and spending time with the family. Mama would be inside, fixing turkey and dressing, and me and my brothers used to play outside in the snow for hours. throwing snowballs, and I'll never forget my daddy coming outside and saying, "Hey! Who put the dick on the snowman? And embarrass the family. You could have used a ball bat, a cucumber, or a zucchini. But instead you used a thimble, something you could barely see. Who put the dick on the snowman and made him look like me?"
You boys been talking to your mama. I got your Christmas present right here, you little bastard. I'm going to beat your ass.
Rodney Carrington.
Isn't that, that's too much.
Every Christmas. You got
I had
it.
To.
It's
yeah,
funny.
I just had to do that. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Hope we didn't offend anybody
I
by
hope
that.
If you're offended by that, then you are listening to the wrong program,
and
my
I'll
friend.
Tell you what, they'll be laughing so hard they'll get mad later, because
right.
that there is just nothing but funny. Anyway, let's get back to the hotline. Let's welcome in our next guest that is the champion. And a pro late model, number 15 from an iconic speedway here in Ontario, John and Frank Caselli's baby, if you will, Flamborough Speedway. Let's welcome in Matt Lockwood. He is the champion this year. Matty, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Fantastic. Hey, congratulations on a championship at Flamborough. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, it does feel really good, actually. It's a lot of work, as most people know, but very rewarding.
Yeah, you get out there, it's hard to get a win, and then you get that first win, and then you go, okay, want another one, and, you know, the championship sitting up there, and you're going, oh, well, I'm not getting that. Not, you know, like, I'll try, but I don't know. And then all of a sudden, one day comes around, and it's 2018, and they say, Matt Lockwood is your 2018 champion. Man, you've got to feel some proud.
Yeah, for sure. It's like I said, it's very rewarding because it's so much work to get there, right? Even to get your first win, and then like you said, next thing you know, it's a championship. So it does feel really good.
Now, does the pressure get turned up to go run more APC and try and get that next championship, or are you quite comfortable right where you're at and going to go after defending that title?
Well, it's tough with us because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd love to run ABC. It's a great series. But, I mean, as most people know, we do we travel with the tires with the ABC series. So it makes it tough to race and do the tires. And, I mean, unfortunately, work kind of has to come first, right?
No, absolutely, yeah. Especially when Bill's cracking the whip saying, hey, you make sure the job's done first, then we'll play.
Exactly. Yeah, you know it.
Yeah, too much. Take us through the season, Matt. It had to be a good one. Take us through the year.
It was good. We struggled at first a bit. A couple rough races in the beginning. I mean, we managed to finish all the races this year, which we were lucky. It helped us out a lot. But, I mean, it didn't come out without some bent parts and, you know, a few fenders on the car. But we had a good season. Most of the guys at Flamborough are really good to race against. Kevin, it seemed Kevin Albers and I ran most of the year together, really close in points. I think he led most of the year, but unfortunately his luck came to an end at the end of the season, which, I mean, kind of helped us out in getting the championship.
Yeah, what's he like to race against? I've seen him race so many times. We've never had him on the program, which that is my fault. I got to get him on here. But he's got to be a decent guy to run with.
Yeah, Kevin's great, you know, he on and off the track, you know, side by side with him. And I mean, that's a lot to say somewhere like Flamborough, right, because it's so tight. Yeah, I mean, any day of the week I'd race against that guy. He's a great racer.
Matt, let's talk a little bit about the landscape of Saturday night pro late model racing. At Flamborough Speedway, obviously, you know, the late models have been the staple at that facility for years on end. It's gotta be the longest running pro late model division in Canada or in Canada across the board at Flamborough. What is the landscape look like currently right now, in 2018? Obviously with you in the championship seat, there's no better guy to comment on what it looks like.
I mean, it's good. Like pro late model racing in general took a fall you know, before that APC series came along. And that APC series helped out a ton, which, I mean, in turn helped out Flamborough. Like, I mean, when I started racing late models at Flamborough, on average, we had like 7 cars a night, you know, my first year or two. And then the APC series came along, and, you know, it doubled right away, which is great to see because, I mean, you know, who likes to race against 7 guys, right?
Right, so, right.
You know, once the series took off, you know, pro late model racing in general, you know, picked up a ton in Ontario, and it was great. It was good to see. I mean, other classes, like, I mean, you know, the Thunder cars at Flamborough taken a bit of a hit because, you know, I think, you know, between Thunder cars and late models, guys have kind of seen the benefit of running late models nowadays just because, I mean, the pay is better and, you know, it's as far as money-wise, it's not too much more money to run. So, I mean, the pay kind of makes up for it, which I think has made the racing just that much better.
Yeah, the window sort of closes in, right? For the V8 guys, it used to be a huge spread in between what we used to know as a Thunder car or, you know, a pro stock into what was today a late model. That used to be a big jump. Today, maybe not so big of a jump.
Yeah, not so much anymore. Like you said, like the most...
But where did he go?
We
lost him.
You.
We lost
him. Oh, there you are.
We got you back, Matt. We got you back. Yeah. A little bit of sell hell, maybe. Yep.
Motors is the biggest thing, right? Between the two classes, because, I mean, the crate motor program is just, you know, it's helped, you know, the series at a time. It's brought the cost down so much.
Absolutely.
And that's what you need, right? You got to have those costs down. How did the tires hang on?
Tires are really good, actually. Like, Flamborough has a one-tire-a-night rule, which is actually fantastic because, you know, it more or less brings out the racer and everyone because, you know, it takes the big-money guys, you know, it kind of takes that advantage away from, you know, the guys that can afford new tires every week. It takes that advantage away from them, and, you know, it gives an advantage to guys that, you know, can only afford one tire a night or one tire every couple nights. So it evens the playing field a ton, which, I mean, makes the racing that much better.
Yeah, and that's the way it's got to be. That's cool. I'm glad to hear that. Take us through your crew. You got the same guys helping you out from Grisdale's, or who have you got helping you out?
Yeah, so, I mean, when it comes to our, you know, our team, it's all family with us. You know, Dad, we had this car, you know, a couple years before I started, and Scott Lyons raced it, and he wasn't too interested anymore, so Dad asked me if I wanted to try it, and it's been him and I, you know, that's the core of the team for, you know, as long as I've been racing. But, you know, both my brothers help out a ton. My, you know, my grandfather, Bill, he's always at the racetrack there to support, you know. So really for us, it's just a family for us, which is it's neat, right? Because, I mean, it's a good family, you know, experience kind of thing.
So is this the black car that, I guess, Scott Lyons raced in the Gold Rush for the first time out? Is that,
yeah,
that's the car that you're running currently today?
Yeah, that's the same car, yeah. A couple upgrades to it, obviously, but same car, yep.
Definitely, that's cool. I remember that car's first race with Scott behind the wheel. We broadcasted that race, actually.
Yeah,
the Gold Rush 100. That was a neat deal when he, because we hadn't seen him race for years.
No, hadn't seen Scotty in a while, and to see him out in a competitive piece, that's cool.
Oh, that's the biggest thing, right? I mean, like, he was, his dad and my grandfather were friends forever, so when we had that opportunity to get that car, and it was no decision at all to put him in it, for sure.
For sure.
So 2019, Matt Lockwood, you're going to be back at Flamborough Speedway then? You're going to defend the championship, or do you think you'll get lucky enough where you can get all the nights in 2019?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because we did have a ton of rain out this year, didn't we? But when it comes to 2019, it's a tough decision, but I think we're going to sit 2019 out. We have a busy year with tires and stuff like that. I have a 1-year-old daughter at home that, you know, I'd like to spend time with. So, I mean, as far as 2019 goes, I think we're going to sit it out. But the car's not going anywhere. We're gonna plug away on it, make sure it's right where it should be for hopefully 2020 when we come back.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Nothing wrong with that, man. You got to spend time with the family too, because you only get one go around in that department, and you want to definitely make the most of it. Good for you, Matt, for having the priorities straight. And there's nothing saying that you can't pull that car cover off and bring it out for a time or two.
Oh, exactly. I mean, nothing's 100% decided, but I mean, when we, as far as regular night racing, I think we're going to, sit it out. But I mean, specials are always an option, right?
That's right. And nobody can ever take that Matt Lockwood name off that trophy that goes around annually.
Yeah. I know that's definitely pretty exciting for us. We were, like I said, at the beginning of the year, we struggled a bit. So, I mean, our hopes our sights were kind of down, but we rallied through, and the end of the year looked good for us. So
good for you. You got to love it when a plan comes together. How many wins did you have, or was it consistency that got you this title?
It was consistency. You know, I think one or two races we finished outside of the top five. We had a couple wins. So consistency was a big factor for us this year, and especially racing Kevin Albert for the championship, because he's the same thing. He's so consistent. Each and every week, he's going to be a contender. So you have to, you definitely have to bring your A game and stay consistent all year racing against him.
Well, you had to, and you did it. Congratulations on that. Give the sponsors a hit, man. I know they got to mean a ton.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. You can't do it without them, right? So I got to thank Neil Strome Trucking and Bin Service. He's been with us since the start. He's great. Weston Fraser from Haynes Geo, same thing. They've been with us since the start. Obviously, Grisdale's, right? My grandfather, dad, all those guys. I mean, can't do without them and the parts store and all their help.
Well, you have a good Merry Christmas. You enjoy that championship, and you never know. We could see you back out there, and if you take the lead on night number one, I bet you plans will change again.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
You want to believe it. That's Matt Lockwood, your 2018 Flamborough Speedway champion in the Pro Late Model class, Junior.
Definitely, and a deserving championship, what a class at Flamborough. You know, I think back to just when I was a little wee kid. You used to take me there to to Oktoberfest. You know, it was an annual thing. We've spent lots of time at Flamborough, and standing in turn four or in the middle of three and four, is such a neat place to watch a race from. Flamborough, it's such close quarters racing at Flamborough, but you've got the outside lane that is there for select few. If you've got the balls, you can throw it out there on the outside. I think of a guy like Dale Shaw, Jason Shaw,
Steve
Laking.
Yeah, he's another one.
Even Scott Lyons.
Scotty was one that would go out there.
And then you've got your bottom feeders as well, it's a place where you can dial yourself out really quickly on setup.
Oh, yeah.
But once you have a good base setup, you seem to be a fast car, at that racetrack. But I love watching late models at Flamborough, and I've always loved it. I've seen some pretty cool shows there, definitely a place where you want to, you want to be good at, because once you're good at Flamborough, you can be good everywhere.
Well, as a race fan, how I got hooked on this sport was actually at Flamborough Speedway with the Morrisons that lived just down the road from us. I originally from Guelph, Ontario, and the family that lived down the road, I used to hang out with Glenn, and his brother Brian was a racer, and I think I was like 7-8 years old, if that.
So they used to race chariots, right?
Like they
with
did
horses
not. You
horses
are,
and chariots,
yeah.
Is that that was an old joke?
Oh yeah, it was. That was a real old joke. No, it was the Diamond class, actually.
Really?
And Brian Morrison at that time ran a Comet, and I was the guy that shined the wheels, so I was actually part of the team. They made me part of the team, and that's how I got hooked on this very sport.
Really?
Was at Flamborough Speedway.
That's cool.
Unreal. Love that racetrack. Iconic place. And I got to tell you, in 2019, one of the first shows we do I got to tell you about a team owner at Flamborough Speedway. Bruce Bennett Jr. is his name, and he owns the number 56. I believe he's got like quite a few cars. But Bruce is actually looking for a driver to put into the number 56 car, and he's going to do it old school. He wants to put someone in there that's going to go out and create numbers. He's not looking to rent the ride. He is looking to put a driver in that car, and he's also looking for fan opinion. Who do you think should be in that car? Who has earned their way into a ride in a Prolate model at an iconic track like Flamborough Speedway?
I think we had him on the air.
Well, we...
Personally, I think we had him on the air.
Well, yeah, but he's got a car.
I think Dylan Westbrook.
Dylan Westbrook.
I think that would be, you know,
Wouldn't that be a neat guy
to throw into a Prolate model. But anyways.
I don't know if he'd want to go on asphalt, though. But in 2019, we're definitely going to talk about that. But let's get to the hotline. We got a caller up there. And look who it is. It's Kent. He's our man. What's going on, Kent?
Hey, Joes. How are you?
Doing good. How about you, brother?
Not too bad. Getting ready to celebrate the holidays.
Are you? You got your list done for Santa? You got everything all ready?
I sent that to him. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I guess.
I sent mine in just like a day before yours. So hopefully he fills mine and then fills yours.
Is that it?
That's about it. Yeah, yeah. So exciting stuff. 2019, Ken, is next.
Yeah, it sounds like there'll be a quite a bit of interesting stuff going on. We've got a couple months to lead into it after the holidays here, and you're sounding good, and just wanted to call in and wish you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, we appreciate that so much, Kent. We surely do, and Merry Christmas to you and your family out there. I know we're in for an exciting 2019, and thanks so much for the comment. I'm actually feeling pretty good. Still got a long way to go. I got to hit the cough button a million times throughout the course of the show, but I am feeling a wee bit better, and I know this holiday is going to even make me feel better by the time we get back under the green flag here.
Yeah, you'll get a break and get rejuvenated again.
Yeah, we sure do. It felt good to get back on the air and talk to everybody 3 weeks ago, but I'll tell you what, I'm ready for a break.
All right, boys, have a good one.
You want to believe it, that's Kent out on Canada's East Coast. Calls into Race Time all the time. Great to hear from
Absolutely, him. And hello to you, Kent. That's awesome. But, yeah, looking forward to 2019. We've had quite a bit of news on this show.
Sure have.
And this is a show about the you know, the champions.
Yeah.
And we're getting news from that. It's not even necessarily a news show, you know? So when you start getting surprise news, then that's a good thing in this sport.
Well, you know, if we were to share some of what we have heard already, it would curl your hair. And I can't wait to start putting names to the airwaves in 2019.
Yes.
Soon as we're able to talk about some of this stuff, it's truly, when I say 2019 is going to be exciting, that, my friends, is an understatement. It's really going to come unglued.
Yeah, and, you know, just some of the news that I'm hearing about the NASCAR Pinty Series, you know, some of the stuff that's being put together. My goodness, there's going to be an influx of cars in the Pinty Series, which is
a great thing.
It's
going to be,
You know, we're hearing lots of news from the APC Series, obviously. You know, there's some guys building new equipment. There's some guys coming back out from last year with tried and true and tested equipment. And, you know, we're hearing lots of rumblings about guys putting deals together for the Jocasta race across the board. There's a lot of exciting things happening.
Yeah, there sure is. But you know what? That's going to do it for you and I for 2018. Man, what a year. What a year.
Yes.
I say that with tongue in cheek in so many different ways. It's been life-changing. It's been life-altering. It's been a little bit of everything. And I'm sure hoping 2019 is going to up 2018, and I'm really sure it's going to.
We don't need that much excitement for 2019.
No.
If you could keep it to a minimum,
we'll drop
just a little bit less excitement, but a little bit more racing would be good.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
But let's go eat some turkey.
That's going to do it for us. You have a Merry Christmas out there. Got to thank Susie right here in the Racetime Radio studio. Our friends back in Toronto. For Junior, I am Joe Chisholm, Senior. Have a Merry Christmas, and go Canada, go, and we will be back with you the first Sunday in January after the holiday. We'll be back with you live on Racetime and for every Sunday night after. But that's it for us. Have a Merry Christmas and have a safe one. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.